All right, Joe, thank you. The ALCS postgame show on FS1 is presented by Tubi with Derek Jeter, David Ortiz, Alex Rodriguez, Matt Vasgersian, in for Kevin Burkhardt. And yes, we get a Christmas present tomorrow.
Game
we
seven.
Get an early gift.
Yes,
game
yes.
seven, baby. Let's go, David. Game seven tomorrow.
I don't want to say it.
You were wrong.
But we got action tomorrow, guys.
I mean, there are so many ways to go with this Rangers team, Derek. Their resiliency, the fact that they never really changed. In fact, that's been true all season, certainly in the postseason. They came out here and got business done today.
Look, I mean, is it surprising? The way the season, the regular season ended for them, the way they struggled in Seattle, lost the division on the last day of the season, then had to go on the road in the postseason and win two series against the two best teams in the American League record-wise. They took a punch in the face last game, and they bounced back in game six. What a job they've done.
Being on the road doesn't seem to bother this team at all. I mean, we could ask Mitch Garver about that, who joins us after a big day today. Homer, three knocks, big double.
Congrats, brother.
Mitch, way to go, man. Don't worry about them.
Why are you booing?
You guys have been hearing that all postseason, right? Because the road has been very comfortable for you and the Rangers this year.
Yeah, I mean, they do a really good job here making us feel uncomfortable. they do a good job. It's a good rivalry.
This is the first time I'm in a group, and I'm not the one getting booed, but welcome to the club. That's a
Thank
good
you.
Thing.
Thank you.
When you have a team such full of stars, Hall of Fame manager, do you feel like you can fly under the radar a little bit, and do you like that role?
Yeah, I mean, I think even though we kind of led the division the whole year, I felt like we were underdogs. You know, the defending champs, it's the Astros, and they got a really good squad, and man, it's always fun playing them because you never know what's going to happen. I mean, it's two really good teams going against each other, so it's been a fun year.
Gee, you guys won two games here, went home, lost three games against this guy at home. What was the mentality coming back into this building?
I think that game five was such a gut punch for us, and it was really, really tough to respond after that. I think everybody felt a little sick to their stomach because, you know, we had it, and then we lost it, and they're a tough team to play at home. But, man, I think the guys really rose to the occasion today. Big game Nate got on the mound, and he did his thing, and I think the guys, you know, we kind of went about our day in a normal game-type atmosphere, and we didn't try to put too much pressure against ourselves, and I think everybody responded pretty well.
Well, I tell you what, take me through yesterday for a minute. You know, you guys lost game five at home. In the fashion that you lost, is there someone on your team that had to step up and talk to you guys? Are you exchanging messages? Are you talking to each other? Or you just take it as another game?
I think we took it as another game. And we have some really good leaders in that clubhouse. You know, Corey and Marcus and Evo and Monty and Schurz and all these guys, you know, they're going about their day in a normal way. And I think that resonated with some of the younger players. And we just came out. You know what? We got a baseball game at 7 o'clock. We got a good pitcher on the mound, and we're going to go out there and try to score runs.
Mitch, we're going to roll your RBI double in the eighth inning. And while you watch this, I want to know personally from you, like, you've really been beat up the last few years. You've overcome a lot of injuries. It's got to be a lot of satisfaction in a moment like this.
Yeah, big-time satisfaction, man. That guy's got really good stuff. He's got a power heater and a great breaking ball. And they've been throwing me breaking balls a lot this series, and I've been working on him in the cage and trying to get better and trying to do everything I can in a situation like that to drive in that run. Insurance runs in the eighth always make me happy.
Mitch, a lot of times you can read a hitter's body language, and you can tell sometimes more by how you take a pitch instead of how you hit it. I thought that about you laid off some good pitches. Were you looking breaking ball, or were you just seeing the ball really well?
I have to respect his heater because it's 100. I really do. And I think with such a good breaking ball like that, it's easy to kind of be on the heater and react to the slider. And there were balls out of hand, most of them, and I was able to just kind of stay through that last one and keep it fair. And I wasn't trying to do too much with it, just keep it fair.
Hey, Mitch, I had the opportunity to play game seven of the ALCS a couple of times. Let me tell you, after the game six, a win like tonight, mentally you stress out a lot, thinking about what you want to do tomorrow. What do you think the mindset for you guys going to be coming into the park tomorrow?
Well, I've never been in this situation unlike you. So it's going to be interesting. I think
hang with it.
Like I said, the best thing we can do is treat it like another game.
That's right.
That's the best thing we can do. We can't let the stage get too big. We have some guys in there with some good experience playing in the postseason. So we're going to lean on them, and we're going to come out and play our best ball.
Yeah, I would say, you know, the only thing I would add to that, I don't even know if it's a question, but I would say continue to keep it like it's a regular game. You know, if you treat every game like it's a game seven, once you get there, you don't have to make any adjustments then.
Capitan, I'm going to ask the big fella here. If you were Mitch's teammate, what would you be telling him before game seven?
Well, I'll be telling him this. We're not going to have Ubaldi tomorrow, so we need to come and attack. We have to score first if we want to beat this guy, just like you guys did tonight.
Bang.
Key right there.
Mitch, way to go, man. Congratulations on a big night. Congratulations on a win.
Thank you.
Thanks for giving us a game seven. We're all pretty excited about this, man. Way to go. Thank you. Get him.
Hey, don't go to the bar like I did in 04, okay?
and tell Boach to calm down. He's just way too spastic in the dugout. There's too much going on there. Mitch Garver joining us after a big game. Hey, here's a little thread that won't surprise anybody. Teams that out-homer their opponent are 19-3 this postseason, right? Chicks dig the long ball, the old Nike commercial. We all dig the long ball, and guess what? It works in the postseason.
I'll tell you what else works is good game pitch by Nathan Eovaldi. And I thought the combination of Bochy letting him fight through that sixth inning and get into the seventh, every out you can chop away from the 27, more power to that bullpen. And Bochy did a beautiful job. And as he alluded in that press conference, the Garcia home run allows him to take out his closer and save him for tomorrow.
I'll tell you what, I will say this. The Texas Rangers today, they kind of walk away for a moment from the long ball. They put the ball more in play, and that's why they had the result that they have today. They basically hit homers when they wasn't expecting hit homers. But with them, they advanced the runner, they moved the runner over, they got base hit when they need it, and that's, to me, what made the big difference tonight.
And I tell you what, they had no problem with the backdrop here. The batter's eye was not an issue for them, and I told you, I just think it's gotten in the Houston Astros' heads. You know, hopefully they can have a good night's rest and come out here and not be thinking about it. Nate Eovaldi did a great job. He did exactly what we talked about before the game started. He's a big game pitcher. He surprisingly walked a couple people, which is a little abnormal. But he was pitching in stressful situations the entire night. And then he got him into the seventh inning. You couldn't ask for more.
And, Derek, I agree. The 88 pitches tonight, Matt, were wholly different than the first game because he had a four-run lead. He had less stress. All 88 of these pitches from the get-go were leverage pitches, and that's why he couldn't go past 88. He did a phenomenal job.
Kind of a different version of Nate Eovaldi. Yeah. Didn't throw the split as much tonight. And once again, a Rangers bullpen that was much maligned at the end of the season, which was great early in this postseason, had a couple of clunkers at home. They held up again today. Hey, it's almost like they love the criticism, and they come out and Boach handles it well.
What a job by Spores. Getting the big double play to get out of that jam there, and you give it to Boach. You know, we thought he was going to bring in Chapman. Didn't happen. He left Spores in, gets a big double play with Brantley right there, who's one of the best hitters in the game. He's a professional hitter, and he's a guy we were talking about. You didn't want him to be up at the plate at that particular moment because he always seems to find a hole. So what a great job. The storyline for the Texas Rangers coming into this series was how poorly their bullpen has done. But I'll tell you what, their bullpen deserves a lot of credit tonight.
Absolutely. You know, Bochy has been able to use that diversity that he have coming out of the bullpen, you know, facing this guy. Because the one thing that we always talk about here, as a hitter, the more you see a pitcher, the better adjustment you're gonna be doing down the road. But not bringing Chapman in the eight, it was questionable from us, but it worked for him.
Yeah, and Bobby, speaking of the eighth, I thought the biggest at-bat was against Alvarez. Alvarez was a tying run, and we'll show it to you. Three pitch, good morning, good afternoon, good night. First pitch, curveball for a foul ball. Gets him 0-1. Then a beautiful backdoor breaking ball, block, called. And then slow him down, fastball, speeds him up.
And wow. I bet you Alvarez had no idea he was going to keep him in the game. He had to think that Chapman was going to be pitching against him, so what a job by Spores.
And by Bochy, fellas, because guess what? If he goes deep there, Bochy has to answer a lot of questions, but he goes a little bit with his gut because every manager will tell you, you got to use the lefty. And Bochy said, you know what? I'm going to go with my gut. I'm going to keep the righty out there, Poppy.
I'll tell you what. I guarantee you guys that Alvarez was more prepared for Chapman.
That's right. What I was going to ask.
You're right. He was shocked.
Mentally, he messed with him.
Poppy, if that was you, you would be like, what's happening here, right?
Without a doubt. Yeah. Without a doubt. Like left-handed batter, left-handed pitcher, you would think about. But
with the game on the line.
With the game on the line. But one thing you got to be aware of, Bochy said early today. I told you about it.
Yeah, you did.
He wasn't going to use lefty against him because he's 6-for-10 this series against mm-hmm. lefties.
There you go.
So he took his chances right there.
He's 11-for-10 against everybody else.
Yeah.
And he had a little attitude because of the day off yesterday.
Captain Tuck.
Come back with the guys that he wanted to come back with today. Look, yeah. he handled it perfectly.
But Matt, let me ask you a question. In today's day and age with analytics and all of that, mm-hmm. how many managers have the guts, the hottest hitter in the world, you have two lefties in the bullpen, maybe three, and you keep the righty out there? It takes a lot of courage.
I have an answer for you.
Onions.
That's it. You got to go against the rules sometimes for things
That's
to
right.
work for you.
That's right.
You have to try. If you don't try, you will never know. That's what he did. He's veteran leadership, been around for a long time. He played with Alvarez mind. I guarantee you that, Matt.
Rangers bullpen did hold, and moments after the win, Ken Rosenthal spoke with the guy at the very end of it, Jose Leclerc.
Jose, you got into a bases-loaded jam. How did you get out of it?
Traté de hacer como la última vez no estaba comandando el picheo de try. Traté de comandarlo y llevarme de Jonas que me dijo, oye, trata de hacer lo mismo que hiciste la última vez, nomás que un poquito más para acá y ya.
Yep, I was just trying to command the pitches in the strike zone, throw strikes, something I wasn't able to do last time. I was just letting myself, you know, be guided by Jonah Heim there. He was just telling me where to throw the pitch.
How did you recover from allowing the home run to Altuve?
Siento que lo que pasó ya no podía hacer más nada. Yo siento que algo que tenemos como pelotero tenemos que olvidarlo, como persona tenemos que olvidar para ser mejor. Si no lo olvidamos, vamos a vivir en el pasado. Yo siento que eso me ayudó, que yo confié en lo que tengo, que si dije un día malo, yo sé que lo voy a tener para la próxima vez.
I think it's something that you have to have a short memory span here. You know, it didn't go too well last time. Something, you know, kind of move on from it. You got to have a short memory if you're a pitcher. Trust yourself for the next day, and that's what I did today. Try to make sure that I locate it.
Tomorrow, game 7. I assume you'll be available. How will you be able to sleep tonight?
Eso estaba pensando. Yo hoy pensé que mañana es un día importante. Hoy fue muy importante, pero mañana va a ser mucho más importante. Desde que terminó el juego, dije, mañana tengo que estar ready 100% del primer inning, enfocarme, tratar de dormir lo más temprano posible para que mañana no haya ninguna excusa de dar 100%.
It's funny, I was just thinking about that, you know. This game's over. This game was really important for us, but tomorrow's going to be even more important. So as soon as the game was over, I was just thinking about I have to get a good night's rest, get ready, plan, make sure that I come out if I'm needed tomorrow, have a good game.
Sleep well. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jose.
Thank you. Yeah, and I guarantee you that everybody in that Rangers bullpen, same on the other side for the Astros, will claim that they are available for whatever in a game 7, of course. Here's the question that we were kicking around this morning, this afternoon, and during the game, this mystery behind why the Astros can't win at home all of a sudden. It is really a strange thing. It's happened only a handful of times where a team has lost its home postseason games and been able to advance even one round. We don't know what the answer is.
I don't know, and today wasn't any different. They scored 9. They only scored 2. So that continues. And to me, Matt, that becomes a little bit more mental because, like Derek said, the Rangers are seeing the ball just fine. But one subtle thing that happened today with the Garcia Grand Slam, it allowed the manager to take out his closer and be ready for tomorrow and also have Big Chappie Chapman ready for tomorrow as well.
Guys, I would say this. I wasn't worried about Houston, especially after they lost the first couple of games. I saw their mojo over there and this and that and the way they handle the business over there. But today, I'm kind of worried for real about the Houston Astros because it made no sense. It made no sense how they play over there at Texas. They execute how their offense just went off, and all of a sudden they come back home, winning the series 3-2, just to put this to bed, and then all of a sudden they can't hit. They can't. I mean, I don't even know how to explain it.
You can't. You can't explain it. I mean, part of it tonight, you got to give credit to Eovaldi.
Yeah.
You know, he's a tough assignment even when you're swinging the bats well. But shouldn't say that. Having said that, this is a real problem for them, in my opinion, because it's not a week, it's not a month, it's not a half of a year. This is a full season they've struggled. And when the excuses start, you just hope that it's not in their heads. But it's kind of tough to think it's not at this point.
All right, fellas, so two of the greatest players of all time in October, In 10 seconds, tell me what you're telling that manager and the team. What are you telling the team before Game 7 if you're the Astros playing at home with this issue?
We got a game we have to win. From the first inning, we have to win. If you're not hitting at home, you got to bunt a guy over, you bunt a guy over. You got to hit a ground ball to second, you hit a ground ball to second. You can't sit around waiting for a home run. You've obviously struggled at home. You have to play small ball. You have to. Get guys on base, you run, you steal, you do everything, and you need to score early and often.
I've heard that before, Cap.
I totally agree with you. I mean, you know, when a team is going through the situation that they are going, tomorrow's game seven, people. Tomorrow is one of the most important games for any ball club during the season. And tomorrow, the mindset, especially for those guys who haven't been able to hit a home, I will go to sleep with my spikes on tonight.
With your spikes on?
I swear to God. I will wear my spikes on while I sleep tonight.
If I would have told you that the Rangers' two top hitters would be quiet, they would have been swept in three games at their home ballpark and allowed 23 runs in the process, yet they're one win away from going to the World Series, you would have said what?
I wouldn't have believed you.
No.
And you have Mad Max, who was brought here for a Game 7
it's so good.
Tomorrow.
It's so good.
Yeah. A lot of storylines.
Dusty Baker on his Astros going 1-for-8 with runners in scoring position.
Yeah, I mean, it's disappointing. I mean, you know, the name of the game is opportunities, and then after that, you know, you hope that you come through. And, that was, that eighth inning when we had action. And, we had, especially with Doobie up there, this guy's been coming through all year long, and you know he's going to make contact. And, like I said, you know, some days you just don't get it done.
Played with?
Yeah, first of all, Max is starting, so he gets the nod tomorrow. And we've talked about this so many times. During the season, we've had our ups and downs. I mean, we've had some tough streaks, injuries, but these guys keep getting up, and they keep bouncing back, and it's about being resilient in this game because it doesn't matter if it happens or not. It's more how you handle it, and so these guys have done a great job of, you know, putting that behind them. And you know, tough loss in game five, and you know, this is a must win. I just love the way they responded and went out there and put together a great ball game contribution throughout the lineup. They all threw out some good at bats. Of course, early runs were nice. Garber's home run, Jonah's home run, but it was good to add on the end too. It allowed me to, you know, rest Leclerc a little bit.
Probably the big takeaway there from Bruce Bochy is that, there's going to be no reindeer games. It's going to be Max Scherzer, and Bochy announcing that as soon as this one was in the books. You know, a guy that's in his 16th season, 8-time All-Star, 3-time Cy Young Award winner. He's done everything that this game could offer. He's pitched in a Game 7 once, and it was here as a Washington National in the 2019 World Series. He was a little uneven in his first start in this series, though, Derek. What are you looking forward to with Scherzer?
Well, I didn't like him starting the first game here. I didn't like it personally because you didn't know what to expect. It's his first time out there pitching in 5 weeks. I like it now because, you know, he got one start out of his under his wings. He threw some pitches. He's in the playoff atmosphere, which he's familiar with as well as anyone. So I expect, who knows how long he's going to pitch, but I expect him to be a whole lot better than he was the first time out.
I was in the same boat as you, him starting the game three over there, and it was because of the same reasons. He haven't pitched in 5 weeks. I mean, everybody know the type of pitcher that he is when he's healthy, when he's going good. Now, if I'm the Texas Ranger tomorrow, one thing that I learned in my first game seven in the playoff was that before the first pitch, every pitcher had their spies on the bullpen. Mm-hmm. So if I'm the Texas Ranger, besides Uvalde, everybody had to have their spies on tomorrow on the bullpen because I would need a little bit of everybody tomorrow in case something goes wrong with Scherzer.
That's a great point. And look, at the end of the day, I like him starting game three because they were up 2-0 at home and they had a little wiggle room. Tomorrow, Bochy won't give him he'll have a shorter leash here. And what I will tell you is this. I think tomorrow is all hands on deck, like you said. And if he gives up an early two, he's gone. And I would not be surprised if even Eovaldi would fight to throw one more inning.
That's what I was just about to say. Everybody's got their spikes.
Everybody.
On. Even if he's in the bullpen just putting fear in the other manager's head in case he may come
That's
in
right.
the game.
That's right.
Everyone's in look, we played into Game 7. I'm not bringing up 2004, but 2003, playing in a Game 7. They took Clemens out. They brought Mike Mussina in. Two starters. That's what makes Game 7 so much fun. You never know what to expect. It's one bad hop. It's one home run. It's one stolen base. You never know what the story is going to be. There's nothing better than a Game 7.
Johnny Damon, ground ball to you, double play.
That's right.
Get out of it.
I never forget about what you just mentioned. It's my Game 7, and I'm not going to lose it. Mm-hmm. When I saw Joe Torre back in 2003 telling the Rocket, hey, I love you, you one of my guy, but you don't have it today. Give me the ball. Yeah. Love and business. That's what I call love,
love
and business.
Love and business again. As far as managerial records, Dusty Baker has never won a Game 7. Bruce Bochy has never lost a Game 7. And it's all happening tomorrow. Oh, by the way, the guy on the other side of the matchup is pretty good, too. Christian Javier has been outstanding in this postseason in particular. A couple of wins, 12 punch-outs, and he'll pitch to try to get the Astros back in the World Series tomorrow night. Adolis Garcia's grand slam put it out of reach for the visiting Rangers. We go to a Game 7 tomorrow night. We welcome you back. And as though we needed more intrigue and drama around a Game 7, there's the storyline around Brian Abreu and his potential availability, awaiting word on a two-game suspension. Dusty Baker talked about that after Game 6.
Yeah, that could be a, you know, a huge blow. You know, I thought about using him, you know, two innings today, you know, had the decision been made, but you'd hate to, you know, have the, you know, the fine and the suspension go past tomorrow, and then I wouldn't have had Abreu tomorrow, you know, had he gone two innings. So, you know, you wish you had a decision, you wish you had a, you know, some final decision, you know, about his status. So, you know, we took a shot there. Hopefully, some of this will be postponed, and we'll have him tomorrow as well.
I thought that was a fascinating kind of revelation from Dusty, that if they had news, a certainty one way or another, they might have left him out there a little longer in Game 6.
Yeah, the issue is it's an unknown. And, you know, Dusty's really managing in the dark. You don't know if you're going to have one of your best relievers the entire year in a Game 7, a possible Game 7. So that's not good news for the Houston Astros. But I tell you what, no matter how you look at it, they still have to come out and score runs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and I sympathize for Dusty because he has to manage without all the information, all the knowledge, right? And he's going to get a surprise one way or another. He's either going to be really happy or really, really sad at 5 p.m. You wish there was other things. He has enough things to worry about besides something he cannot control, Poppy.
Absolutely. And I'm going to tell you what, that is going to be a bad news for the Houston Astros because their bullpen was used today. Mm-hmm. And that is one of the main pitchers coming out of the bullpen for them. And tomorrow, guys, after tomorrow, there's not tomorrow. After tomorrow, the only tomorrow will be if you win.
That's another shirt. After tomorrow, there's no tomorrow. I like that's another shirt. I love it.
Poppy,
I love it. Got to go on a shirt.
Poppy's like Shakespeare. Poppy's been writing.
What would you guys do without me after the World Series?
He's the Dominican answer to Yogi Berra. Really?
I mean, to David's point, though, with Abreu and Presley, it's a seven-inning game.
Yeah.
It's seven innings game. If you use one of them for two innings, it's a six inning game. Yep. That's a problem if he can't pitch.
Mm-hmm. How tough is it to handicap a Game 7 between the Rangers and the Astros? Well, here's some real basic numbers that tell you how even these two teams played during the regular season. And all this includes the fall, the postseason as well. Runs per game, almost a dead heat. They both hit a lot of homers. Both had winning records, 98 and 96 wins respectively. So given that, which doesn't help us at all, Alex, give me some insight on Game 7 tomorrow.
Maddie, you're a big tennis guy. This is the reverse hold serve. It's a really strange thing. I mean, these teams are 12-0 on the road this year. It's unbelievable. I've never seen it before. So whatever I think is going to be opposite. So Scherzer's on the mound. He's supposed to pitch good. So maybe it's the Astros. I don't know. I'll tell you tomorrow.
I'll tell you what, man. Matt Scherzer pitched weeks ago. And in baseball, as a pitcher, I don't see anything. I don't expect any different than what I see the last outing, velocity-wise. And if he doesn't come with a 3 and 4 miles an hour different that he normally has when he's doing well, it can turn out to be an issue. So I would say Houston will have the edge, even if they're not playing well at home.
You just changed your mind. You told me something different a little while ago.
Well, that was in between you and me, homie.
It's still between just you and me. I think it's kind of tough to tell until you get all the information. I don't think you can make a decision on who you think has the edge until you find out about Abreu. Mm-hmm. Because it shortens the game for the Houston Astros. Everyone knows they're struggling to score runs. But if they can just score a few runs with the lead after six inning, they're in the driver's seat. But if he's not there, it's a problem.
And G, the only information we have is who's the road team. So the Rangers do have road field advantage.
Mm. Road field advantage. It's kind of a real thing in this series. Let me ask you. You guys have all played in big games, like a Game 7. You guys have played in a Game 7. The night after a Game 6, what are you doing? You're running the streets, I'm pretty sure. But the rest of you guys, what are you guys doing?
He went to sleep. I went to a bar. that answer your question.
No, I think, you know, what I've always said is you have to treat every single game like it's a Game 7 or Game 5 if you're in a five-game series. So when you get to that particular game, you don't do anything differently. I don't ever think you can say you have the luxury of a 2-0 lead or a 3-1 lead. We have a few games to win a game. No, every single game is important. So once we got to a Game 7, it was the same thing.
I wish I was as cool as Derek and hang out as much as Poppy. Maddie, I couldn't sleep. I was so damn excited. I was so excited. I could not sleep. Watching film, you know, it's just an exciting thing. It's what you dream about ever since you were 10 years old. And to me, it was awesome. Poppy, go ahead.
I'll tell you what, man. I went to two Game 7 against these guys. The first one, we play at 4 p.m. on Saturday. And the next day was 8 p.m. game. And the first one in 2003, I stressed out. So I went back to my room. We are in New York. I got my whole family, friends, everybody. We don't play until like 20 hours later. I went straight up to my room, and I was stressing out so much that the next day I was wear out. Different story, 2004. After the game 6, we won. I went to a friend of mine restaurant, have a few drinks, feel good with my family. The stress wasn't there. First awareness day,
but wait,
bomb.
Poppy. A fan came up to you and started messing with you, and you said, on my first at bat, tell him that.
Yeah, I was walking out of my boy's restaurant. He was there. A lot of people witnessed that. I bumped into this table that three Yankee fans were sitting down, and the guy went like, this guy's not going to see the baseball tomorrow. And I thought, I'm going to do my first at bat against Kevin Brown. Sit down and enjoy. I was lucky enough, I did.
So the key is to play Game 7 borracho.
No, not borracho, but you can, the less stress you put on yourself, the better you will be the following day.
So great, you were drunk, hungover, and you still beat us.
I wasn't drunk. I was feeling right.
Neither manager, and we saw it in the sound tonight, neither manager sounded like the guy on the losing side, which is amazing to me, right? Because, and maybe it's because each of these guys lost a World Series before they won one. They know what it's like from the pit to the pinnacle.
These guys are heavyweights. They've seen it all. I mean, people don't understand how having a manager with experience relaxes the team. He's the captain of the ship. It's like a pilot in a turbulent flight. You look at him. If he's relaxed, you relax. If he's not relaxed, you start getting nervous, Poppy. You know what I mean?
That's look right. For a parachute.
Yeah.
That's right. Hey, the Houston Astros, they should come and stay at the hotel with us. Don't go home tonight. Just come and stay at the hotel or somewhere else.
We do have some news from Ken Rosenthal that Major League Baseball will make a decision on Brian Abreu's appeal and his availability by game time tomorrow. That could change the calculus.
Well, not only the calculus, Matt, but also the momentum. I mean, you have to plan for the worst, hope for the best. I don't know how else to plan it, but if you're Abreu, you got to come ready to pitch and hope for the best.
Yeah, you make a good point. You have to assume he's not going to be there.
Right.
And then if he is, great. But, you know, I think if you're going to sit down and try to game plan it out with him there, it's a big blow if he's not.
Is that a rule?
It is tomorrow.
No, but I know. But is that a rule that had to be right before the game? Why can't I be by noon tomorrow?
That's a good question.
Before first pitch. That's when we'll all find out together, apparently. That's when news will be out there. Maybe a little earlier for you?
I mean, I'm just thinking about not putting the Houston Astros on the spot.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? At least giving 7 hours to get prepared for whatever they want, you know? Yeah.
And Poppy, if you're a Houston Astro fan, it begs the question, well, why not Garcia? He just hit another grand slam today, right? And you want some parity, and again, this is way above our pay grade, But I know the Astro fans are probably saying, hey, about the other guy.
Yeah, well, no later than first pitch tomorrow. All right.
The reason why – that's why Kenny's the best, by the way. And the reason why I say that is because people sometimes don't understand how frustrated it can be mentally for you receiving a news like that.
It can
5 minutes before the game. Yeah. I mean, it don't make no sense
to
me.
It's deflating your teammates, too.
Yeah.
Right? That's why you have to prepare therefore he's not going to be.
But even more so, Derek, I think if you knew the night before that he wasn't available, at least you can go to sleep and plan for it. I think sometimes we forget that these are human beings playing, and this is the hardest game in the world. By the way, it's also the best game in the world, Matt. About the lows of Friday night game five and the highs of today, and nothing matters. Game seven, you can throw it all away.
It's all tomorrow. Game 7, 7:30 Eastern on Fox and FS1. KB's back tomorrow, and we'll see you tomorrow night.
I'll see you when I see you.